Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim that free bet today. We're also brought to you by SGPN Fantasy. Dominate your draft with the SGPN Draft Kit. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/DraftKit. And the free roll football contest is back and better than ever. $5,000 is up for grabs in our NFL contest and $1,500 in our brand new college football contest. Sign up exclusively in our Discord at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord.
Hi-ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to another thrilling episode of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 199. Let's dedicate this to France for finally coming to their senses and legalizing MMA and allowing UFC Fight Night Gain versus Tuivasa to go down last night, which a very profitable evening for one of your hosts and for people who follow one of your hosts, if anyone even does follow that host. So. Another good evening for that person. We're not going to name any names. I am one of the hosts here, though. My name would be Jeff Chalks Fox, the real Juicy J. Thank you for coming to the show. We're going to recap the historic UFC Fight Night Gain versus Tuivasa. Basically, only historic due to it being taking place in France, UFC's first event in France. Not much else on the card was super special. We had some good fights, but there wasn't anything really super special. And every UFC event, regardless of where it is, pretty much are generically produced and generic events. So it's not like it was anything special for it being in France. But like I said, it was profitable for at least one half of your dynamic duo here. Let's bring in the other half. You may know him as Danny, if you're really, really close to him. You may know him as the god of old man baseball. Or you may know him as Gumby. That's where most of you know him as Gumby. It's Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
So I know you're playing up your picks, but
No, I'm not. I didn't say anything. I didn't name anyone.
Yeah, well, I could tell you are already. But real quick, before you go in about how great you did, one host this week set the – and I did a little fact-checking on this, too. I did a little archival research, if you will. Host this week set the SGPN MMA Gambling Podcast record for the best recommended plays in the history of the show.
Wow, highest, he almost doubled his money.
Highest profit number in the history of the show, and it's the third straight week I beat you in those. So before
now you're naming who it is.
Yeah. We can let it know. I've now beaten you in three straight weeks, including 2-3-0 weeks for me. Which you were 3-0 this week too. I feel like I shouldn't be murking on you too bad. But on that note too, I know we already dedicated this episode to all of France. So shout out France. Yes. But also I want to dedicate this episode, a second dedication here, to the Eric Degenerate in our Discord server, which, by the way, go ahead and get in on that, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. But shout out to him, who shared some bet slips right when the night ended. He literally took every single leg of my recommended plays, all four of them, stuck them in one parlay, paid 5.5 to 1. So big play on that. And then He took the when we talked about Imavov by decision and Whitaker by decision, he added Gomi by decision. And I think that one was 23-1. He hit that one too. So like huge bet slips in the Discord this week.
There was. There's always huge things popping off in the Discord. The degens just love the parlays. You guys just can't resist parlays. Everything's gotta get thrown in a parlay. You can't just do an old fashioned bet nowadays, can you?
We had a recommended play parlay this week too, which is we don't even usually think about putting them in there, but even money or a little bit better than even money recommended play.
Yeah, I was getting dunked on about my three minus 200 picks, but my recommended plays, I've decided there's going to be my lock picks going forward. So you're not going to get fancy picks from me. I'm just going to give you what picks I'm most comfortable in, because I think that's basically the way it should be. The other half of our duo will get a little.
We'll light things up.
So to speak. Yes.
Hey, during my archival research, I also looked up too, because you said all over negative 200 and somebody said that in the Discord. And I was like, oh, that's true. He does have all negative 200s. The last 2 months, you've made 6 recommended plays that were less than negative 200.
That's it, really.
Do you want to guess how many of those you hit?
None.
One.
See, that's why I'm. I give you the play I'm most comfortable in. I don't give you Yanni plays that are going to make you 1-18. I give you plays.
Hey, he's 2-18. He's
2-18 now. All right, good. And Gummy's just feeling himself because he things kind of went his way. He still lost a buttload of money with when you making picks on a la carte, and the other half of us didn't. But and he still lost on the opener as per usual.
I did lose the opener, and I did lose on the way that no human being in the whole world bets, which is just straight money line the whole way. Although I'm sure there's somebody out there who does it. If you're a degen who does that, let us know. I'm okay with the. What was it? Overall, I went 7-5. I'll take the 7-5 night with the clean sweep on the recommended plays.
And what did I say? The openers, I think you're 0-6-1.
I think you said 0-9-1.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
They're not my recommended plays.
Exactly. You should make a podcast just about the opening fight on every UFC card.
Instead of just the prelims? Podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, really specialized, really drill down, just the opening card. Maybe you can start being good at it if you do that. So let's talk about the event a little bit. UFC Fight Night, Gain versus Tuivasa. Do you agree with what I said off the top? It was, you know, nothing special, and UFC really doesn't do anything special. Even when they go to a new place in a historic place like Paris, France, it's just the same old UFC Fight Night. A bit more French-speaking fighters on the card, but really you couldn't really tell that they're anywhere different. Everything's pretty much cookie cutter with them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what else they could have
done. That's true.
Different, you know, like at this point in time, like it's not like they're changing anything up too much, and I don't even know what you would want them to change up. But they did put 5 French natives on the card, so you know we did get that right. Surreal Gain. Yep. Imavov, Gomi, Ferris Zayem, and Benoit Saint Denis, all 5 of which won, too, by the way. Yep. They're 5-0 on the card. So, you know, that was kind of nice. Apart from that, yeah, like, apart from introducing, like, regional titles or some crazy shit like that, like, you know, like they do what they do when they go places. At least they put a Frenchman on the top of the card.
That's true. And we didn't have Daniel Cormier on the call. So that's
great announcing team, by the way.
Yes,
it was. Amazing. I loved it.
We had John Gooden back, which was always nice. So that's good. All right. So it did go down last night. Acor Arena, or actually, yeah, it was a night for us. It was a night for them. It was about, I think the attendance was about 15. You can read this on my MMA State Money, MMA.substack.com. But they said the attendance, they didn't announce the official total, but it was 15,000 plus and the 3.3 million gate around those numbers. So a successful debut in the city of light, right? That's what Paris is, isn't it?
I think so, but I don't know. I've been one time and nobody mentioned it.
Really? It's more time. I've been to Paris, Ontario many, many times. There's a Paris right by where I live. So it's not quite as glamorous as the Paris you've been to. All right. Main event. Cyril Gane beat Tai Tuivasa. Knockout punches 4:23 into the third round. Far more exciting than I expected it to be. Gane was doing what we thought he would do, using his length. being elusive, even though he did get knocked down once, which was surprising, but he was really doing the classic go after the fat guy in the gut move, where just nonstop kicking Tuivasa in the gut. Obviously, he played a lot of Mike Tyson's punch out growing up, and King Hippo, you have to hit King Hippo on the stomach. So it's a classic. If a guy's fat, you got to hit him in the stomach move. So and it worked for Gain. He wore down Tuivasa until he finally, it took a lot to get the big man off his feet. Finally, Tuivasa was not going to go down. Slipped in a punch in the back of the head for good measure to help him on the way down. But he ended up getting the job done. We got a big minus 550 on him, so hooray for us. But yeah, more exciting than I thought. And Gain finished someone, which was nice. He didn't just sit back and play it safe.
Yeah, I agree with that. But in the same token, I'm going to say I've never been more convinced that Surreal would not beat Ngannou or maybe even Stipe after watching that fight. I get that he's like a very good kickboxer, and it was nice to see him going for it. But now that we've seen him going for it, he had his lights turned off. Like, he even admitted it in the post-fight interview. Tai Tuivasa turned Surreal Gain's lights off and nearly got the finish. And that's what it looks like when Surreal goes for it. You know, so, like, if he's going to beat those guys, he's going to, like, fight the safest fight you've ever seen and not be terribly exciting. And we already saw him try that against Ngannou, and it didn't work. So, like, now this new going for it version 2, I also don't think is going to – and you mentioned he did play it, like, technically safe in round 1, but I think he started to open up a little bit in round 2 and feel himself. And I don't think that version is like a better version of him. So like, yeah, maybe he's changing things up a bit, but I don't, what did you think? Did you think that looks like the type of guy who's going to beat a John Jones, or maybe John Jones, but not like Stipe or Ngannou?
No, he would beat all the fighters that are active right now in heavyweight, but he's not going to beat the three people that you mentioned. Three people whose basically futures are up in the air currently. The current champ, Ngannou, and then former champ Miocic, and then probably the greatest fighter of all time, John Jones. So, that hasn't changed my thoughts at all as to Gain's future with those guys. So, what do you did this fight matter? Did it? We were talking months ago when it was announced, thinking that this may end up being a interim title fight or an actual title fight. And the picture is no clearer now than it was whenever this fight was announced, which was it seems like it was announced quite a while ago, maybe almost half a year ago. Like, situation is still the same. John Jones nowhere to be found, just talking. Stipe, same thing. Francis Ngannou supposedly still injured and is not re-signed, so we're still in the same place we were months ago in the heavyweight division.
Yeah, I will say there was a little bit that came out about Francis around this fight week that does make it sound like he's probably coming back to the UFC, because he did some interviews and said, you know, like, I don't know necessarily what I'm doing, but I know that boxing is going to be a part of it, and I don't have to do something separate from the UFC for boxing to be a part of it, which really sounds like the UFC has found a way to negotiate with him and his team around, like, squeezing a boxing match in for him. If not this next fight, a fight in the future. So, like, that seems like a good thing if you want to see, you know, Francis fight John Jones and Stipe and all that kind of stuff. I really do think what we're going to wind up seeing, and I know we haven't seen anything from either of those two fighters next, is Stipe versus Jones for an interim. And then whoever wins that up against Francis sometime in, like, March. Because his schedule now, he said he's not fighting in 2022, maybe early 2023. So, like, I think, you know, end of the first quarter there for Francis. So that really puts the real Gain in a real no man's land. I know you said, like, does this matter? I think it does, because he won, and he won emphatically. But, like, I don't know how much it can matter, right?
Yep, same. Yeah, main and co-main last night were, you know, good matchups, but did they really mean anything in the grand scheme of things? So what do you do with assuming the holy trinity of heavyweights that are on the sidelines? Let's just take them out of the equation. Pretend Ngannou, Jones, Stipe, none of those guys are an option. They're not coming back in the foreseeable future. What do you do with Gain?
I think Blades. And I think that actually might be what we wind up doing, right? Because if Jones and in Stipe fight in, let's say, November. Let's say they fight in a November pay-per-view for the interim title. They're going to unify it in March. I can't really see Gain waiting around till next, you know, June or July. Like, International Fight Week is the next time we're going to see him, really? And by then, like, who knows what might have happened? You know, Tai Tuivasa might have rattled off three more wins by then. So, you know, like, I don't think he's going to wait out that long. So if that's the case, yeah, give him Curtis Blaydes. Let's see if he can deal with the wrestling. Let's see if he can deal with the new hands of Curtis Blaydes. And you know, like, that's maybe the extra win Curtis Blaydes needs after the weird Tom Aspinall fight.
Yeah, I guess that's probably the best option, regardless of what happens with those three guys we mentioned. So, all right, let's do it. Let's book it. Any thoughts on Tuivasa before I tell everyone about our lovely sponsors?
Nah, he's always going to be a guy who can beat anyone in the division and probably isn't better than most of the people he'll fight. You know what I mean? Like, he's not better than Cyril Gane, but he almost beat him. You could probably go back and say that about, you know, him against Derek Lewis. You know, he's just, it seems like he's a slightly better version of Derek Lewis at this point.
That's what I was going
to say. And yeah, he's younger.
He's a new breed Derek Lewis, yeah.
Yeah,
he's and take over that role.
He's a better technical striker than Derek Lewis, yeah. At least in my opinion. And like, so I think that will play up for him in the long run. But yeah, he's going to keep knocking out the, you know, Augusto Sakai's of the world anytime you give them to him. And he might knock out a Cyril Gane or a Derek Lewis or a Curtis Blaydes once in a while. But like, he's more often than not going to lose to those guys.
Yep. Yeah. So he may not totally stylistically match Derek Lewis, but that's basically the role. What we both see, sounds like we both see him taking the Derek Lewis, kind of a gatekeeper type role at the top of the heavyweight division, as long as his chin can hold up and he doesn't start getting knocked out nonstop. So, all right, we'll move on to the rest of the card after I tell you about WynnBET. Thank you for joining WynnBET. Now it's the perfect time. New customers who bet $100 get a $100 free bet. And if you're betting baseball, you have to check out WynnBET. The reduced juice in baseball games makes them the best place to bet MLB. Plus, WynnBET Casino is always open 24 hours a day, where you can get 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Wynn also just released their first quarterback with 5 touchdowns prop bets. So get in on that. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. So they know that we sent you that, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET, to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And we're brought to you by Odds Trader. What is Odds Trader, you may ask? Odds Trader is a place to compare odds from all major sports books. You can also compare the different sign-up codes and promotions from sports books to get the best deal. The app also provides player statistics, key game stats, injury reports, and projected game day weather for bettors to make the most informed bets possible. It also has a bet tracker so bettors can keep records of all your games and betting activity. Go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. Odds Trader, the number one site for all your game day bets. And we're giving away a bunch of stuff again with our free roll fan football contest. The free roll football contests are here. College football contest, $1,500 up for grabs. NFL contest, $5,000, and a 2-night stay at Wynn Las Vegas are up for grabs. Sign up exclusively in our Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. And you can also get in. There's a bunch of channels there, but definitely get into the fight channel and chat with us. It was jumping off last night. Everyone seemed to have a good go at it. All right. Co-main event. Basically, if it was a video game, you could have just hit the simulate button and it went out. The fight was exactly the way that we expected it to go in the early going. The exact score that ended up, I thought this is going to be a 30-27, 29-28 fight, I bet. And that's exactly what happened. Maybe Robert Whittaker did a bit more damage than maybe I would have predicted, but it was, the fight pretty much went down exactly the way everyone thought it would happen. We had Whittaker at -230, which actually was the steal one when you think about it, since it seemed the outcome was pretty predictable. And this really does nothing in the middleweight division. Izzy is a clear number one. Whitaker is a clear number two. Vettori's probably a clear number three. That one may be a little up for grabs, but other than that, decent fight, but really it does nothing.
Yeah, I agree with you mostly about how it played out. I will say, as somebody who had the Robert Whittaker decision prop.
Oh, yes. You were sweating it.
Oh, big sweat. Yeah, because he he was beating the hell out of Vettori, which I, you know, call me crazy, I did not see coming, because not that Whitaker doesn't have power, right? Like, he always has power, but like, usually if he's like putting a clinic on people, he doesn't see the need to like empty it out and try to turn it way up, right? Like, he was just, he dodged everything Vettori threw. Vettori was just throwing punches at air for most of that fight, and Whitaker was drilling him, and then he just would like, I drilled him once, I'll go get him again. And it was like, wow, he doesn't need to do this. So I really do, I like, appreciate that kind of performance. I really appreciate that Vettori survived it. That was a big appreciation there. But I'll also say this, like, I think it does something if you think that Alex Pereira has any chance.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, like, there's no doubt in my mind now that Whitaker is the 1A of that division. So if the one gets eliminated out of that division, 1A is the obvious challenger, right? Like, there's nobody. Did you see he's the only number one ranked guy in the UFC, any UFC division, or number one ranked gal, that includes them, who has wins over 2, 3, 4, and did it say 5 too? It was either 2, 3, and 4 or 2, 3, 4, and 5. And that is insane. He's the guy who fights everybody else, and he's killing it.
I like how you say gal all the time. You're saying that about in the Discord too, guys and gals. I like it. It's nice. he's very clearly the best guy. But you're saying about Pereira winning. Pereira doesn't just have to win. He has to win twice for Whitaker to even have a shot. He has to beat Whitaker. He has to beat Adesanya basically twice in a row. Because if he beats him the first time, there's for sure going to be an automatic rematch unless an injury is involved and Adesanya can't go again. And then he's going to have to beat him again. And then Whitaker may get his title shot. So we're talking, what, probably like a year away almost?
Yeah, I mean, barring an injury like that, or if, like, you know, if Pereira knocks him out hard and Izzy wants, like, brain recovery time, which I guess is an injury too, right? Brain recovery time, time to, like, work on some things he messed up. Or so, like, you've seen fighters sometimes say, like, I'll take the immediate rematch, but let him go fight a couple times more or something like that while I like figure shit out. I could see Izzy being that type of guy too, right? Like that doesn't strike me as weird for him. So you're right. Most likely we would need 2 Pereira wins in order for this to happen, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. But well, I think we're probably both expecting Adesanya to win though. And then, so Whitaker's talked about going to light heavyweight, but he's like a small looking middleweight to begin with. Like, he was a smaller man in the fight last night. He used to fight at welterweight. So I don't know how, not that light heavyweight's any good, but the size, there's a reason there's weight classes, and there's a reason people do extreme weight cuts, because it does matter once the cage door shuts.
Yeah. He also said that those comments were sort of taken out of context.
Okay.
I saw an interview with him after the fight where he was like, yeah, that was mostly taken out of context. Not that I like wouldn't consider it, but it's like not imminent. It's not something I'm like right now in real time considering. So I really think most likely we don't see him do that. I think he goes the Max Holloway route. He just keeps beating the tar out of people until you got to give him a third shot at Izzy.
Yeah, sounds like that's what his plan was. He was saying something. He being Whitaker was saying something how he's just going to take on all challengers going forward. So, all right, good to hear. I'm not really into people jumping all over weight classes, chasing success, because normally it doesn't work out too well for them. So, keep destroying welterweights. I mean middleweights. All right, another middle. This car was middleweight heavy. So at least the main portion. We have 3 in a row here. Nasruddin Imavov looked very good. I didn't know this was a knock him out, drag him out grudge match, but apparently it was. He beat Joaquin Buckley 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. Imavov was maybe more aggressive when the round ended than he was when the fight was on, but regardless, he looked very good, just way too big for and too technical for Buckley in this fight. We had him at -371.
Yeah, this is a pretty easy one for me, because I think Imavov is really good from range. I will say he worried me a little bit with his defensive striking wasn't as good as it used to be, or what didn't look as good against Buckley. He like backed straight up a couple of times, and I hadn't noticed that in fights before, but like he looked like he was a little shaky in there. But yeah, he's just a much better striker than Buckley. He's really good creating range, and Buckley's a much shorter dude. This went the way we would expect it to. Excited to see him get a big step up sometime in the near future.
Yeah, they look like they're in different weight classes last night in terms of size. We finally got one wrong. Roman Kopylov knocked out Alessio Tirico. How were they saying his name again last night? They were saying it differently than how we say it, I think.
I don't know. Tirico? Tirico?
No, I don't think so. I think it was Kiriko, maybe. Tirico. But regardless, he got knocked out last night, and we picked him. So this one was kind of a toss-up. It was a toss-up on the books, too. Basically, it was a pick-em. So Kopylov got the job done, 109 into the third round.
Finally
got his first UFC win.
Yeah, and we said we didn't like this fight from a betting perspective. Like, we told you up front, don't bet this fight. Unless you've got extra money laying around. I would also just say that Kopylov is wildly frustrating because when he decided to put together a combination in the third round, he just knocked out Tirico or Tirico or however they're saying it. He just knocked him out when he wanted to. And I was like, where was that for the first 11 minutes, right? Like, could we have gotten this done earlier so I didn't have to watch all 11 minutes of this?
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to knock him out early for us, please. William Gomez. Lyricom Gomez made a successful UFC debut of Jarno Ahrens in his home country. Gomez, home country, 29-28. Now Dan's going to rail against the 29-29 fight card.
It's a wild card.
It is. Was it a 10-10 or a 9-9?
Well, it has to be a 10-10, right? Because if it's 29-29, right? That means both guys got two 10 rounds.
You never give out 10-10s. You never give out 10-10s.
It's wild. And it's funny, too, because I said in the Discord, I can't remember who I was talking with, but I said in the Discord, like, what round do you give a 10-10 to, right? Like, huge question.
Did you look it up?
I didn't yet. I can pull it up right now. But I said, you know, what
round? Oh, the intern's on it already. Go ahead.
Oh, cool. Thanks, intern. What round do you give a 10-10 to? And somebody in the Discord said, well, I could give the third round a 10-10, right? I could give a third round.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, like,
yeah, that's what he did.
He did.
Christophe Chapuis gave 10-10 third round, but no, it wasn't that close. You give a winner. You have to. That's their job, is to pick a winner of each round.
Well,
you
don't give 10-10 rounds. I don't have a problem with a 10-10 round. If you really truly believe it's a 10-10 round, like, Gomi clearly got the better of the striking in that round. Ahrens had the really close submission skills, but it wasn't even like a big grappling dominance thing for him. So, like, I could see, I personally scored it for Ahrens. I thought Ahrens won that third round, and with the submission attempt, it was very close. It looked good. So if you want to give that a 10-10, I'm fine. Here's the more egregious part of that scorecard. They gave Ahrens one of the first two rounds. Which of those rounds did he give him? I don't even care which one he did. It's wrong. Like, Gomez won those first two rounds, clearly. I think is that what the other two judges had? One and two for Gomez?
I think so. I've already closed it, but the intern's already closed the screen. But yeah, that's the only logical thing to do with that fight. So I don't know. But at least the correct man won. Thoughts on Gomez as a prospect?
So I had the intern do it again because we don't care about his well being. And it was the first and second round for Gomez on both the other cards. So that's correct. And then I would just say, moving forward, I think he's got a lot of promise. I really love the way he was just able to, like, counter every grappling position Ahrens put him in. You know, Ahrens being a guy who largely relies on his striking but has a judo background. And then he's just, like, anytime he got a takedown, he was like, that's a cute position you're trying there, Mr. Ahrens, and then just reversed him. So I like that portion of him. I think he's got some holes as far as submission defense, obviously. And also, like, you know, his striking needs to round out. And featherweight's a tough division, as we're going to talk about next. Yeah, like, I think he's got some room to grow.
So we hit Gomez at -215. I hit the next one, Nathaniel Wood, +112. I hit two dogs on the night. Thank you very much. This was one of the dogs that Gumby did not go along with me on. He should have, but he didn't. Nathaniel Wood beat Charles Jourdain. Unanimous decision, 32-7, 30-27, 29-28. So Wood is now 2-0 at featherweight. I think I still would rather seen him at bantamweight, but maybe physically that isn't an option for him anymore. But onwards and upwards for Nathaniel Wood. Looked great on the feet, great on the ground. Very good.
Yeah, no, I'm all in on him as a featherweight now. You know, like after we watched him fight Charles Rosa, we were like, this guy does not belong at featherweight, right? Like that, it seemed like a bad move. But this Nathaniel Wood, now that he's had his second training camp at this size, is not the same Nathaniel Wood who lost to Casey Kenney, right? Or who had to like grind out a decision against John Castaneda. Like this is a completely different Nathaniel Wood up at featherweight. It looks like he's rounded into the weight class. He's extremely fast. He was very powerful. You know, like I'm all in on Nathaniel Wood as a featherweight now. I wasn't sold after the Charles Rosa fight, but this is where he belongs.
Okay, is there any other Charles's in at featherweight he can fight? Because he's only proven he can beat Charles at featherweight.
Should we get the intern? I'll put the intern on it.
Charles Oliveira, no, he's a lightweight now. Yeah, so
used to be though.
Yes, I know, it used to be. Maybe he'll come back down. So do you have any ideas for who Wood should fight next other than a Charles?
Nah, I mean, just like don't put him in there against a ranked guy next. Like he needs a little bit more time before that. Maybe there's a nice featherweight fight going on this upcoming Saturday, which we'll be breaking down soon, between who is it? Hakeem Dawodow versus Julian Arosa. And Dawodow is with a win over Arosa, there would be like a nice name for Nathaniel Wood to go after.
Yeah, that works. That works for me. Let's book that. All right. So the main card, I was 5-1 and Gumby was 4-2. So Gumby did good, but just not good enough as per usual. So, but you did okay, kid. You did okay. All right. Let me tell you about the last batch of our sponsors. And then we will zip through the prelims and look ahead to next week in the UFC, promoguy.us. Promo Guy is back with us. For all your sports bettors out there, all you sports bettors out there, so everyone listening, basically, I want to tell you about the best new way to increase your bankroll. It's called promoguy.us. At promoguy.us, you can get the biggest bonuses from all the best sports books in the country. We're talking $1,000 risk-free deposits, insane odds, boosts, and most importantly, the best analytics in the business, plus tons of free picks as well. Promoguy.us is your guide to betting smart. Once again, that's promoguy.us. Now, on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. SGPN gang use it for theirs. It's a game-changing product like anything else in the industry. And now you can win on Sleeper by playing their new over-under game. They got it integrated right into fantasy, the first sports contest game built right into the fantasy experience. Now, not only can you enter a contest via over-under itself, but you can also do so through Fantasy League's matchup screen. Your fantasy league. I'm skipping words. That's okay. Patrick Mahomes is your starting fantasy quarterback. And not only do you think you're going to win your fantasy matchup this week, but you are confident that Mahomes is going to hit his over of 250 passing yards line. You can do it right there off your fantasy screen. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times over 20 times the money you put in. Main reason I'm excited about over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play the new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money on your mobile phone. Join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. Promo code SGP. Again, go to sleeper.com/SGP and you'll get a $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. And finally, last but not least, Run Your Pool RYP. Run Your Pool is the home of competition, bringing sports fans and their social circles together to compete, connect, and make every game matter more. Run Your Pool offers every game type under the sun, from Pick'em and Survivor to Fantasy Pools. It's your one-stop shop for sports gaming with customizable features that you don't get anywhere else. We've teamed up with RYP to host a pool for our official SGPN NFL Survivor contest. Hop in now to reserve your spot. If you win, you get $500 cash, maybe out of Gumby's paycheck, and a $250 gift certificate to the SGPN store to the winner. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store to check out all our gear. And while you're in there, buy some MMA gambling podcast gear. Be a buddy. Win the contest, and you can get $250 that plus $500 cash. So pretty good. As I stumble over my words, here's what you do. Sign up today over at play.runyourpool.com/SGPN. That's play.runyourpool.com/SGPN. Was the intern looking something up?
He looked up whether or not there were more Charleses at featherweight. There are not. There are only 4 Charleses in the UFC. He's fought 50% of them. And the only other two are Charles Oliveira and Charles Johnson.
Okay, well, Johnson would, he'd have to drop a lot of, or Johnson would have to move way up, or he'd have to drop some weight. But Oliveira's doable.
Yeah. He could pull off a Charles trifecta.
Exactly. All right. The main event of the prelim, so to speak. Did not have to sweat this, our bet out on this one very much. Abus Magomedov beat Dustin Stolfus TKO front kick and punches 19 seconds into the first round. Seems like Magomedov was part of a lot of the gens in the Discord's parlays, which was good. We had him at minus 260 on the money line.
Yeah, well, and he was part of the parlay I had with Gomi too, so it was nice to hit that first end of it and not have to sweat that one out, because Gomi certainly made me sweat it out. So, yeah, Magomedov, I mean, he looked good, and it's pretty much, while it happened very fast, it's pretty much exactly what I said. Stolzfus needed to wrestle, and he was up against the guy he was probably not a better wrestler than, and he was a way worse striker. So, yeah, it was good to see Abus finally get to make his debut, because he's had his debut canceled like four times. But yeah, like he looks like a guy who could do some damage at middleweight.
Yep. And we're firing Dustin Stolzfus, right? We haven't fired anyone yet. We should have. He's 1-4 now. I mean,
if we want to retroactively fire anybody, I want to fire Alessio Dzhocherko.
Yes. We missed him. Dzhocherko, he's probably getting cut too. He's 4-7 now. And I think like 1-4 over his last five or something.
He's 1-5 in his last six.
1-5. Even worse. So yeah. And while
one of those losses is to Kevin Holland and Mahmoud Muradov, he's also lost to like Abdul Razak Hassan and Zach Cummings, and now gave Roman Kopylov his first win. So yeah, he's gone. Stolzfus just did have that nice win against Dwight Grant, but that does make him 1-4. It is probably it for him too.
Yeah, this is the wrong season to go on losing streaks, because they just signed 25 people off the Contender Series.
Yeah, it's going well. They just had five more last week. Yeah,
And they have four more weeks to add people. So. Yep. So people are going to get cut so they can get these cheap 10 and people on 10 and 10 contracts in the UFC. So, all right, lightweights, Nasrat Haqparast, another one where Gumby went dog. I was considering this one. I actually put John McDessie on my DraftKings roster because I needed some cheap people, and I thought he was worthy of it, but did not get the job done. Not that Haqparast looked fantastic anyhow, but he won at least 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. McDessie just did not do enough. I don't know. Not that he's kind of fights cautious as it is, but I don't know if this is an age thing or what, but I had Haqparast at minus 220.
I think it was an opponent thing. We talked last week about how he looked so good against Ignacio Bahamondes. I think some of that was just that, like, Bahamondes is a guy who will bring the fight to you. He's a really technical striker and really strong striker, but like Haqparast just like didn't bring the fight to him all that much. And kind of, you know, he picked his shots and got in there, but he didn't try to brawl with him, or he didn't try to like, you know, turn up the volume. And McDessie's not a guy who like controls the tempo well. He like just rides with the tempo. So if you give him a reason to throw a bunch, he'll throw a bunch. Otherwise, he'll get outpointed from distance by Nasrat Haqparast. So yeah, I wouldn't say it looked good on either of them.
No, at least Haqparast got a win and the other half of his pay. But yeah, this did nothing for his stock in my eyes, at least. First Siam looked very good last night. Or maybe it's Michael Figlak did not look good in his debut. He was outclassed, outsized, and outthought. He did not use very good fight IQ last night, Figlak. And he lost 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. And I'm a little bitter on that, because we had Figlak at minus 200.
I'm gonna defend Figlak's fight IQ a little bit.
Okay.
Because going into that fight, who in their right mind would have said, like, man, I really got to stay out of the clinch with Faris Ziyaem, right? Like, yeah, Faris has got a freaking 75-inch reach. He's 6'1" at lightweight. He's a guy who you want to be in close with, and all of a sudden he wrestles, right? And, like, we're fresh off of seeing that dude get absolutely manhandled on the mat by Terrence McKinney. And his only other UFC loss is Don Madge, who also was a damn good wrestler at the time. So, like, yeah, like, of course Figlak wanted to run that strategy, and he ran into a brick wall early in the fight, and I think he just like didn't have a backup idea. Who would have thought that Faris was going to do that?
No, that's true. Ziyaem looked very good. Very good. So we'll see how he progresses that lightweight. This man, I think he's a favorite of our podcast now.
He is.
I think he was right off the bat. Benoit Saint Denis, especially now that he's winning fights, we like him even more. TKO punches Gabriel Miranda 16 seconds in the second round. We think of Saint Denis as a grappler because that's basically what he mostly is, but he also put it on him on the feet. He got this. He didn't really want too much to do on the ground. He took it to the ground a bit, but he seemed to be more comfortable piecing him up on the feet. And boy, did he ever.
I think it's because even when he had Miranda's like head against the cage, he could feel Miranda's hips moving like he was going for arm bars. And like, I wouldn't say he got in on one, but he like got his hip up over or his like thigh up over the shoulder of Saint Denis at one point. So I think Saint Denis just like, it wasn't that he didn't think he could grapple with him, but he was like, look, this is going well enough on the feet. I'll go there. And yeah, like I 100% think this guy has got a bright future. I said he had a bright future after he lost to Eliseu Zaleski Dos Santos. And a lot of people laughed at me because he got battered in that fight, but up a weight class on short notice against Zaleski, like no shame there. And he's shown afterwards, like, dude, he is a man to be reckoned with. Of the last three fights, I got this question for you. Of the last three fights, which of the winners are you the highest on? Because all of those guys win, all lightweights, Hakparas, Zayem, and Saint Denis.
Saint Denis.
Yeah. And then second is probably Zayem.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which means Nazrat Hakparas, who, you know, he's the only one who beat a UFC veteran in that fight. And he's been in the UFC longer than the other two, still have a lower opinion of him. And that just goes to show how like lame his fight was.
Yeah. If Saint Denis is going to start piecing people up on the feet, then yeah, he's going to be a problem at lightweight. That's for sure. Bantamweights, Christian Quiñones came through for some plus money early in the night for us. That was a nice hit for us. Plus 108. Totally outclassed Khalid Taha. TKO punches 315 into the first round. I'm cutting Taha now as well.
Yeah, I'm cutting him too. He's looked pretty bad. And I'll say this too about Quiñones. He like set that shot up really nice by like jabbing him to death early on and just frustrating him. He was frustrated 3 minutes in, overexerted himself, and got floored. The only mild bummer about this fight, because I did pick Quiñones, I did have him on the money line. The only slight bummer is this is the only thing that messed up the Superfan Jong parlay, which I hit half of. I had the winner right in this one, but I did think Taha was going to survive, and he did not.
No.
Survived for three minutes and 15 seconds. But
this wasn't even a sweat, unfortunately.
Nope. But yeah, Quiñones, I mean, he looked good enough to beat Taha, so that means we've got to at least start to think about him now as a member of the roster.
Yes, siree. And then in the opener, Dan got it wrong, of course. Stephanie Egger bounced back from her loss. Shutting the mouth, perhaps, of Eileen Perez. Submission, rear naked choke, 454 into the second round, basically dominated the fight on the ground. Despite that, Perez thought she would continually clinch with a high-level judoka and grappling champion, and it did not go well for her. I had Edgar at minus 300.
Yeah, if you want the low fight IQ comment here, you got it right here. This is it. Like, and tell me I'm wrong. She looked better in the striking exchanges.
Yeah.
Definitely. She definitely looked better in the striking exchanges. And she was the one who entered the clinch all the time with a judoka. Like, what are you doing? Like, not good. But yeah, Egger, I don't know. Do you feel good about Egger at all?
She's okay. Like I tend to like watching her fight, but it's not like last night did much for her stock for me. I guess Perez maybe she was thicker, probably stronger, but Edgar was able to overpower her. But yeah, I the jury's still out. Let's say that for Edgar.
Yeah, she's beating people she should beat. She's also losing to people who she should probably beat.
Yeah.
So that's not a good sign either. At some point in time, she'll have to step up in competition. And I don't know. I don't know what I will think of her fighting, you know, let's say Carol Rosa. Like, I don't like her chances against Carol Rosa.
Carol Hosa, you mean?
Yeah, Carol Hosa. I'm trying to think of any other, like, low-ranked women's bantamweight. Like, who's down around Lena Landsberg? Pani Kianzad. Would you pick her to be? Man, I guess this division just sucks. Maybe she is a top 15.
Yeah, exactly. And Perez doesn't seem quite ready to take on Amanda Nunes for the top featherweight. Like,
no, I think she probably could have pumped the brakes on that.
Yeah, a little bit. So Dan got the any theories, or is this just like a weird anomaly that you get the curtain jerker wrong every week?
I think it's probably a little bit anomaly, but I'll also say this, like, the curtain jerker tends to be lower level MMA, if I'm not mistaken, and in general more upsets happen at that level of MMA, so I think I'm just more willing to take a shot on a dog there versus a dog like up on the card, because it just makes more sense, and I think I'm probably missing on those. I did already look for who the curtain jerker was next week, and it is Johan Linais versus Darian Weeks. So that'll
who you taking? So we know who to go against.
I don't actually know. That's actually a pretty good fight, in all actuality. So
go ahead. You have more to say?
No, I was gonna say I interviewed one of them. So.
So we should probably go against that person. So all right, well, we'll look at it next week in a sec. First, we have to mention I went 10-2. Won almost $300 last night, hit two dogs. Dan went 7-5, but lost almost $200. So on the year, I am up $1,100, 3% return on investment, 66% hit rate. Dan is at 58%. He's down $2,600. So I have a $3,500 lead on you, but there's still time, right?
There's still time.
Just recommended plays, as Dan said off the top. He went 3-0, won $83. He had... what do you have? You had who's
Bobby Mack? Bobby Nux by decision.
Bobby Nux by decision. You had the McDessie Hack Press to go to the decision. Then you had Gomi and Magomedov parlay on the money line. So all three of those hit for him. Very good. So on the year, you're at 50% now, 55, but you're still down $86. So you're almost scratched yourself out of the loss column. I went 3-0 as well. I had Whitaker money line, Gomez money line, Magomedov money line. I won $42. So on the year, I'm at 62% still for success rate. I'm up $100 on that. And as Dan mentioned, the Hungry Man Jong Super Fan Parlay, half of it hit. Imavov via decision hit. Quinones via decision did not hit, sadly. So anyhow, a decent night. Dan can submit it that it was a good night for him as well. So
a great night.
All is good. Great. It was even better. It was a great night. We've got a pay-per-view next Saturday, and Dan has already been trying to spin it, saying it's a sneaky good pay-per-view, right?
I think there are some sneaky good fights on it.
All right. Let me break it down quickly and see if you people think the main card is worth your money. Main event for nothing, no belts or anything, comes at Chimaev versus Nate Diaz in a squash match. Welterweight, the Leech, Li Jingliang versus Tony Ferguson, another probable squash match, even though Dan has a thing for Tony Ferguson. Catchweight fight.
Hang on. Let's pump the. Do you think that's a squash match? Do you think Li Jingliang is going to outclass the Tony Ferguson who just like floored Michael Chandler last fight?
At this point, yeah. He knocks people out.
I think he's
going to knock him out eventually.
Maybe, but like, man, like, I mean, he knocks people out. He knocked out Muslim Salikov and Santiago Ponzinibbio. That's true. I mean, I guess he does have a lot of TKO victories, but
yeah, he's got 10 out of his 19 wins are via the knockout variety. So yes, I'll gladly go against you on this one and win some money by all means.
I don't know that I'm picking Tony Ferguson, but I do not think it is a squash match.
Okay, fine. Catch weight. Belt, because let's make the card better with the catch weights. 180 pounds, Kevin Holland versus Daniel Rodriguez. D-Rod to you. Women's bantamweight, Irene Aldana versus Macy Chaisson. And then rounding out the main card that you have to pay for, Johnny Walker versus Jan Kudalaba. Then prelims, Hakeem Dawodu versus Julian Rosa, the fake Juicy J. Dennis Tuiu Louie-Lin versus Jamie Pickett. And then we got some chunky guys, Jake Collier versus Chris Huggy Bear Barnett. That's fun. And I think Jelton going to be on the main card or not? He hasn't.
He's going to be on the ESPN prelims. He's fighting the pleasure man, Anton Dracali.
Yes. Oh boy. Fun. So what's, is Norma Dumont, Danielle Wolf getting bumped up to the prelims, the main prelims? Do you know?
No, the main prelims will have Jelton and Turkali, I believe.
Okay, right. All right, sorry. And then the early prelims, as I mentioned, Dumont versus Wolf. Another featherweight, women's featherweight, 2 weeks in a row. I guess it's a real division now. Chad on Helliger versus Alatang Haley. Melissa Martinez versus Elise Reed, and then Darian Weeks versus Johan Lionese is the fight that Dan is going to get wrong. So just wait to hear who he picks on Wednesday's pod.
I'm going to make you pick first. What about that? That way you can't just...
Oh, yeah. You want to... Maybe that's it. You want to switch it up? We can do that.
Yeah, yeah. You got to go first on those. Yeah.
Maybe that's it. And then we'll see. That could be it. All right. We've talked long enough about this stuff, because we have another pod to get in your ears. Maybe it's in your feed as you're listening to this now. We have to do one of our famous Dana White Contender Series episodes. There's, 4 weeks left? This is week 7 already, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's 4 weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's right, 4 weeks.
This one and 3 more, yep.
Right, that's how math works, right. All right, make sure you follow us on Twitter, SGPNMMA. Jeff Fox, writer, would be me. He would be Gumby Vreeland. If you could subscribe and follow our podcast, that really helps in the rankings of things. So make sure you do that and listen right to the end of every podcast. Me saying this at the very end probably is the wrong spot to say it, because if you're hearing this, then you did listen to the end. So thanks for that. Read our stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I don't think I have to tell you to do anything else. I think I've told you enough. Dan, we'll let you take it home and tell him anything else you want to tell him.
All right. I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's Bam Bam Jeff Fox. And we will see you in just a moment.